Ersatz Radio. A rapturous galumph to all. Welcome to the Papa Biggs Show here on ersatzradio.co.uk. I am Papa Biggs and we've got a fantastic show in store for you. But before I tell you all about that, let's welcome this fella to help me do the show.
I'm Begun, I'm the co-host of Very First Son. I'm Summer's Sun Sun and I live in the sun. Spitting hot fire like from out of a gun. You better run to your radio and turn it on. We're the Papa Biggs crew, we do radio for fun. My rappers cause are poor but I picked a good drum. Are you stunned? The number of dams we give it equal to none. The introduction's done. Cause my name is Sun One.
Hello! Sun One time, it's me, Sun One. Hello, welcome to the Papa Biggs show. Hello guys, hello. Hello Papa Biggs, how are you?
I'm alright, what are you up to?
Nothing much.
You're doing a show?
Yeah, we're doing the show.
Okay, what have we got coming up on today's show?
On today's show, we're going to be doing a little bit of trailers. We're looking at five trailers that have come out in the past week. Can we tell you?
It's a good week for trailers this week, I think.
You think?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
I agree. Do.
Okay. Yeah. And we'll have some great music, of course, because this is Ersatz Radio.
Yeah.
Anything else?
What are we watching, reading?
And if we're lucky, we might have a bit of film news. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, yeah, because I'm on the show too, and I know all of our segments on the show.
That's true.
Yeah, did you know that this is episode 99 of the Papa Biggs Show?
That means the biggie next week.
Big 100.
The big century show.
Yeah.
The century show.
It's perfect because not only will it be episode 100,
yeah,
it'll be the anniversary of our return from our massive six-month hiatus.
Right.
That's the one-year anniversary of that.
Right.
It will be airing on your birthday.
True.
Your 50th birthday.
Oh, I'm running for that.
And also on my birthday.
Your 16th birthday.
Yeah, so that's
wow.
Pretty much perfect.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so we've got a good week ahead of us.
Yeah, it's
But we
wonderful.
Need to get this week out of the way first. So if people want to get in contact with the show and let us know about what they would like to hear on the centenary special, just do this.
You can get in contact with us at Biggs Papa on Twitter, The Papa Biggs Show on Facebook, SoundCloud, YouTube and Pinterest, at Ersatz Radio on Twitter, Ersatz Radio on Facebook, SoundCloud and YouTube, ersatzradio.co.uk and cafepress.co.uk/ersatzradio.
That was the wonder stuff with Don't Let Me Down Gently. What have we got now?
I think we should do a little bit of this.
What have you been reading? What have you been watching? What have you been watching? What have you been reading? What have you been reading? What have you been watching? What have you been watching? What have you been reading? What have you been watching?
Yes, of course.
Yes, of course.
What have you been watching and what have you been reading, Father? So we're looking at what you've been watching and what you've been reading in the last 7 days. What have you been reading?
What have I been reading? I have started reading a non-fiction this week, yes, by one of my favourite authors, Mr. Paul Auster, and it is his 2012 sort of, would you call it biography? I'm not quite sure. Some of it is his musings on life. It's called Winter Journal. I'm just over halfway through, and he's done quite a bit of non-fiction and some biographics. That's not a word.
It's not, no.
Okay, biographies. But this one is—it's got no structure to it. It's just kind of ramblings, and it's all the better for it, to be honest. So he jumps about. There's no—it's not in linear order. He doesn't like start when he was young and move along or anything like that. It kind of just has sections. Like there's just finished a section which is all the different places he's lived. He's lived in 22 different places in his life, and he just tells you about the feeling about it and all that kind of thing, and the neighbours was, and then an interesting story attached to that particular place of where he lived, most of which was New York, but in different places in New York and with different people and with different types of places. So it's actually quite interesting, and he always keeps it entertaining and engaging because he's a very good author, and he's led a fairly interesting life. Not amazingly interesting, but he always spins a good yarn. I indeed like it so far. Mm. And rather worryingly, he's now 64 in 2012. So now he'll be, what's that, 7 years ago? He'll be 70, 71. Wow. Okay. Anyway, that's what I've been reading this week, and I thoroughly recommend it to anybody, especially anybody who likes Paul Auster. What have you been reading?
I have been reading this. This is Hawkeye, Volume 1, Anchor Points. Now, this is not your dad's Hawkeye. What's that? Is that the phrase? This is not your...
Old man's Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Your old-fashioned Hawkeye.
Yeah, yeah. This is Kate Bishop, so...
Who?
It's another Hawkeye, and it's she's a woman.
I guess so, from her name.
Yeah.
And the picture of her.
Yeah, and she's a private investigator.
All right.
Who lives in some nice beach town in America. Los Angeles.
Yeah, City of Angels.
So she has to uncover a mystery with a bow and arrow and going around. And this is very good. This is very, very good. It's written by Kelly Thompson with art by Leonardo Romero and Michael Walsh. And it's very... it's like relaxed artwork. I don't know how to...
How does it justify the bow and arrow in the modern age?
It doesn't really. Jokes about it. See, it's very...
What, kind of like Avengers do with the films. Mm. They kind of make a mockery of it, really. Like, you know, why?
Yeah, but it's very cool. It's very... very neat, very organised artwork. But it's also very humorous. Like, every time she gets out an arrow, it's like all her potential targets are shown with, like, a ring around them.
It's quite graphic design-y, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
See, like, for example, this is one of the panels of her...
Which, of course, everybody can see on the radio.
Sorry. It's a picture of the street, and there's a bunch of people, and there's a target around everything. And she's labelled the stuff. So
quite computer gamey, isn't it, I suppose, respect?
It's written kind of like a
diary. Well, that's first-person shooter games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks a bit like that.
But this isn't something expecting to like as much as I did. I found it very, very good and very, very interesting. So I would recommend Hawkeye Volume 1, Anchor Points. What did you watch? You didn't tell me. What did you watch?
Oh, I'll tell you what I watched. I watched the first three episodes of Love, Death and Robots.
Did you?
Yes.
Now, this is the new anthology series on Netflix, isn't it?
That's right. David Fincher attached to it. I like a bit of David Fincher. Although it's not really aimed at me. It's more aimed at a younger market. And the three episodes were Three Robots, Sunny's Edge, and The Witness. So it utilises all different kinds of animation styles and that, and it's very interesting. So the first one's quite cartoony, even though it's CGI, and it's a comedy about three robots who go on a holiday to a post-apocalyptic Earth, and cats now rule it, and it's supposed to be funny. I didn't find it particularly funny. It was not really aimed at me, it's not very subtle. Sunny's Edge was a little bit better. Very similar storyline to, what's that Hugh Jackman film with the robots? Oh, Real Steel.
Oh yeah, it's a good film. It's always on TV.
Yeah, instead of robots, it's got like monsters which these people control in these fights to the death.
Like and Pokemon?
Well, kind of, but they are actually real. They are actually living, real entities which they kind of control their minds of. So
it's Pokemon.
So there's a nice...
Real.
All right. Oh, of course, yeah. And there's a nice little twist at the end of that. I quite enjoyed that one. That was okay. Although there was a gratuitous and pointless lesbian love scene in it, which was absolutely pointless. And then the third one was The Witness. A really interesting visual style to this. It looks like it's been shot with live action, and then it's kind of a combination of rotoscoping and animation and all kinds of different things, and even like very bizarre costumes and painted on people, like physically painted on the people.
Okay.
So really quite bizarre, all combination of those things, and it's kind of like a twisty tale with a loop sort of storyline to it. It was okay, but again, just another gratuitous bit of sex and violence right in the middle.
That I think that's the point of these, isn't it?
Well, I think it's the point of them because that's who it's aimed at.
Like brutal a younger, murders.
Well, a younger audience. But it was a completely irrelevant. It didn't have any point to it whatsoever because it was just a chase scene. And if he just had the chase scene, it would have been fine. And it would have been about 8 minutes rather than the 12 that it was. So I've kind of paused after that. I've liked one out of three. And I can't say I particularly loved that one that I actually liked. It was just okay. I might dip into another couple because they're only 12 minutes or so each.
Mm-hmm.
I know some younger people that I know say, oh, it's the best thing ever.
You know young people.
I do, yeah, unfortunately. And that also put me off as well because I thought, well, that's not going to be right, is it? Because they're going to be wrong. Anyway, what have you been watching this week?
I watched, along with you and Mama Biggs, Bad Times at the El Royale.
Yes, you did.
Drama.
Yeah.
Mystery.
Yeah.
Crime.
Yeah.
Movie.
Yeah. Definitely a movie.
It's definitely a film. Starring Jeff Bridges, Cynthia Erivo, Dakota Johnson, John Hamm, Chris Hemsworth. So it's a big cast.
Mm-hmm. I think Jeff Bridges and Cynthia Erivo are my two favourite characters. Oh, they're really, really good.
Mm-hmm. John Hamm might have been my favourite character if, spoiler alert, he didn't die after about 20 minutes.
Yeah, he was not in very long, was he?
Yeah.
And I like the way he did actually set him up as being the lead character and then, boom, he's gone. Almost psycho-esque.
Well, they set him up as the main character in the film, yeah. But the posters set Chris Hemsworth up as the main character, even though he doesn't appear until about
the last
40
third.
Minutes.
Yeah. So, yes, so it's a group of misfits who are all up to no good, and we don't know what they're up to, and they all converge on this motel, yeah. Which is on the border of Nevada and California. In fact, the border actually runs straight through the middle of the hotel.
Yeah, this is set in 1969, so at the height of war
in Vietnam, yeah. And McCarthy era, and it also references a couple of real life events as well, alludes to them and alludes to real people in them, but mm-hmm. never really explicitly lets you know who they're talking about, but we know who they're talking about.
So everyone's doing everyone's doing dodgy stuff. But the singer, she isn't doing dodgy stuff.
See it, but she just gets embroiled in the dodgy stuff. And she's always around dodgy people, God bless her. I mean, he's there for his reasons. Jeff Bridges is there for his reasons. And he plays a father, a priest, mm-hmm. Like you say. Cynthia Erivo plays the singer, Motown singer. And who else we got? Remind me, like you say, Chris Hemsworth doesn't arrive until the end. Oh yeah, Dakota Johnson.
She's like very secretive. She's more secretive than everyone else, and she's very sweary and
aggressive. Yeah, she doesn't want to be there. Doesn't mm-hmm. want to be around other people. Anyway, obviously nefarious deeds happen. Strange, unexpected turns, and I enjoyed it. What about you?
I enjoyed it too. Mm. It's very enjoyable if you don't know what it's about. Like, neither of us or Mama Biggs did.
That's right. It's always a nice thing to go into a film and not know anything about it. Here's the real big surprise for me, because it did contain violence, is Mama Biggs actually still liked it, which is very unusual.
Yeah.
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 It's also unusual because I said, let's watch this, and she still liked it.
Yeah, so if you want to watch this film, then you ought to know nothing about it.
So you did. That was Alanis Morissette with You Ought to Know.
You ought to know that we've been watching some trailers this week.
Trailers.
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 Trailers. Yes, of course, Trailers, the best trailer show in the world, where we look at 5 trailers that have come out in the past 7 days and we tell you whether we think they are good, whether they are bad, or whether they're somewhere in the middle using our thumbs. So basically, we're watching them so you don't have to.
You know, your claim for that be the best trailer show in the world ever might actually not be that far off, because I can't imagine there would be that many of them, to be honest.
No. If you're interested in watching any of these trailers, which you should be watching them along with us, you can head on over to our YouTube channel, The Papa Big Show, where they're compiled in a playlist for your consumption.
That's true, they are.
Yes.
And what do we have this week for our first ever trailer, please?
Our first ever trailer.
First ever for this week.
The first ever trailer this week is for Toy Story 4.
Oh, thank goodness. Hooray. Yeah. We've been waiting ages for this. The Toy Story film that we didn't know we needed.
Well, we've had...
1, 2 and 3.
And we've had 1, 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. So many teaser trailers.
Mm.
There was the one with them all the characters going around in a circle.
That's right.
There was the Super Bowl trailer. There was the one with Key and Peele's
Bunny Rabbit and Bear
characters. Yeah. Bunny Rabbit and Chicken, sorry. And now this is our first full trailer after about 6 months of teasers. And
It is absolutely rubbish.
I wouldn't say rubbish.
I would.
It's got redeeming qualities, such as the beautiful animation.
First and foremost, it's a poorly put together trailer.
Yeah.
Which not only is badly edited, but gives me too much of the story. And that story is absolutely nothing new, which is... something I'd never thought I'd ever say about a Pixar film, because they always do something interesting and always do something that has a good storyline. And this is, it looks like 1, 2 and 3 just kind of mashed up together.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it looks like, with some terrible new characters.
Like
really, really
boy.
Poor, like the Spork, yeah. Sporky, whatever he's called.
Forky, he's just a fork.
But surely he's a spork.
He looks like a spork, yeah, but that's his name, Forky.
Ah, damn.
Fork off.
Absolute rubbish. Really poor. Even some of the imagery, you know, it's just the same. You know, getting stuck in the scary, scary toys, the missing toy, Oh, it's just the same thing.
Unoriginal
film.
Yes, rubbish. No, it still looks good.
It's still probably
going to have some very good voice acting from
Tommy Hanks
and
Tim Allen, and the others.
Everyone else, yeah. And Bo Peep's back. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah. Where did she go missing? Was she only in the first one?
I think she was only in the first one, yeah.
Right, okay.
And then you've got the girl who...
Bonnie, who got the toys off Andy.
Yeah.
Andy's probably about 40 now, isn't he? So
both Tom Hanks and Tim Allen said that they have both cried during the final scene.
It was that bad?
The film. No, I think maybe there's an emotional moment. But Toy Story 3 was a great emotional ending with a great place to end
the
franchise.
I didn't need it.
No.
Just really rather cynical, isn't it?
But if it's taking stuff from the first three films, those first three films are both... all three of them are very, very good.
Yeah, but why not just watch the first three films again?
Because that won't make Disney any money.
Yeah, it would. I bet if they re-released them at the cinema, there'll be a whole new generation of kids who haven't seen the first one at the cinema. So, there you go. Just re-release them.
Well, this comes out on June the 21st, I believe.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. What are you doing with your thumb?
Me? Mm. Personally?
Yeah, you personally.
I'm going to give it a thumb in the middle.
Okay, I am sticking my thumb down.
I need to do that. I don't want to go straight down.
Straight down.
Because I still have some hope.
90 degrees, boom.
That maybe they're not... It's not a good trailer.
Nope.
But it still could be a good film. Maybe,
okay, all right, move on. What have we got next? Trailer number two, please, son.
Trailer number two is for Lucy in the Sky, as in that one song.
Yeah, by the Beatles, Lucy the Sky with Diamonds.
Except it's not based on that one song. It's based on a person in space, specifically Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman plays an astronaut who looks like she's part of the space shuttle program in the 1980s, who goes into space, does some space walking outside of the shuttle, etc., etc., and sees some stunning visuals and all that kind of thing. And then she comes back down to Earth and has trouble adjusting to reality.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Noah Hawley, and it's got some interesting visual touches, which is obviously to reflect her fragile mental state as well. Also stars
John Hamm.
The pig in the Toy Story 2 as well, isn't it?
He's called Hamm.
There you go.
Wow. And it's also got Zazie Beetz.
Okay, I said Toy Story 2, which is a bit weird. There you go. Okay. Yes. Yes. And it looks quite interesting, if a little sad. I'm not sure if it's based on an actual, genuine astronaut. So, but there were obviously female astronauts in the 80s, and it could be. Could be based on somebody. I don't know. I'm not quite sure.
We should have researched. But she seems to have
some serious mental issues when she comes back down to Earth, and it's all about that, really. And yeah, it looks quite interesting, actually. I quite like the look of it because it's quite interesting visually. Visually. Yes.
Why are you saying it like that?
I do not know. Okay, you know what I'm going to do with my thumb? I'm going to stick it in the middle.
Me too.
Hmm. Yeah. Because I like a bit of space, as we know. But I'm not 100% sure about it, which I quite space like, obviously, about the trailer, because it gives me some information, and it lets me know what the story's about, but it doesn't reveal too much, I'm pleased to say. I'll stick my thumb in the middle just for now, but it is starting to veer upwards in a positive motion.
It's just floating up.
Lucy in the Sky. When's it released, Cocker?
2019. That's this year.
Okay.
No dates yet.
All right.
But I'm sure it will be released
eventually
on a day rather than just a year.
Oh, it's also got Ellen Bernstein in it as well.
Oh, how interesting. Who's that?
She was in The Exorcist.
Oh. He's got a cool name.
Yeah.
Die, Giuseppe. Die.
Elliot. Okay, so we'll have trailer number 3 and then we'll have some music and then we'll do the last 2, okay, Cocker?
Sorry for the technical difficulties. You may have heard some crackling in Dad's microphone.
Yeah, I'm not frying chips or anything.
Like just like I did last week, but we think we've figured it out now.
Hope so.
Just like how we figured out that the next trailer is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
The 9th Quentin Tarantino film, because of course he stated that he was only ever going to make 10. We'll see. Anyway, this is the 9th Tarantino film, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Name the other eight.
Oh, Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, Kill Bill 1, Kill Bill 2, The Hateful Eight, and... I've run out.
Got two more.
Okay, The Inglourious Bastards, 7, and one more, Django Unchained. That's the one I missed.
So this is his 9th Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Starring Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio, big stars, and Margot Robbie, big star, and probably some other people as well. So set in 1960s, that's all I'm quite sure of. I'm not a huge fan of the latter Tarantinos, if I'm perfectly honest. But I do quite like the look of this, and it might just be a kind of because it's got a kind of retro feel to it, and it's got a brilliant cameo by somebody doing a brilliant Bruce Lee impression, and that's quite funny. So it looks like it's got a good bit of humour involved in it, which sometimes is lacking from some of his latter ones. But it looks okay. Obviously aimed at fans of Mr. Tarantino himself. He's not doing anything different here. He is making a Tarantino film, that's for sure. I'm sure it'll be full of pop culture references, swearing and violence. And big stars.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Looks okay.
Thanks for that. Insightful.
I don't have much to say about this.
But you did actually make an interesting comment when you first saw it, because it's another film by Hollywood about Hollywood. They are very introspective and like to make films about themselves.
And then they like to congratulate themselves about making films about themselves.
That's right.
In the Oscars.
Absolutely. You know, I suppose they say write what you know. And I suppose if you're a filmmaker, then you know about filmmaking. So why not, I suppose. Anyway, it looks good. Looks all right. I'm going to stick my thumb up, you know.
Ooh.
I know, I'm quite surprised at that myself.
I'm going to stick my thumb in the middle.
Okay, well, let's have a bit of music. Let's have some De La Soul.
Yes, of course. That was Me, Myself and I by De La Soul.
It was indeed. We are currently halfway through trailers on the Papa Big Show. We've already had, what, some...
Toy Story 4.
And
Lucy in the Sky.
And
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That's right. And what did we do with our thumbs on those particular films so far?
Toy Story 4 was a thumb in the middle for me, a thumb down for you.
Yeah, Lucy in the Sky.
Two thumbs in the middle.
That's correct.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, thumb up for you, thumb in the middle for me.
That's right. So now, what is trailer number four?
We've got a theme with these final two. Oh. Because they're both series coming to Netflix.
Okay.
The first one being David Attenborough documentary series, Our Planet.
Our Planet.
Yeah, we've talked about the teaser trailer a few months ago.
Right.
This is a full-blown epic trailer. Now, this, I hate the overuse of the word epic.
But this is, looks epic. Mm. Even though some of it is tiny little beasties, it still looks epic. Mm-hmm. Great, big. And we're going all around the world here, aren't we? From the icebergs in the north to the hot tropical rainforests in the south.
Yeah.
We're in the seas, we're in the snows, we're in the forests and the jungles. We're everywhere.
Yeah.
Following all kinds of beasties.
It looks so vibrant and colourful.
Mm.
And it just, it's very beautiful.
It is. It's stunning.
Yeah.
Absolutely stunning. Some amazing footage, some of which we haven't seen before in any other kind of documentary. Some we have, like the breaching humpback whales. Some nice I like that tracking shot of the cheetah running along with it. Narwhals! Oh.
Penguins, cheetahs.
They're jaguar.
Jaguar.
Ooh.
Penguins. Gorillas.
Gorilla on another gorilla's back. Beautiful birds of paradise and wild dogs. And then also not just the animals themselves, but the stunning scenery.
The habitats and the surroundings.
Right. That's right.
So, because this is our planet. It's not just the beautiful creatures that live in it, but the beautiful places that the creatures live in. And then it ends with those
A family of orangutans, a mummy and a little baby.
Oh,
absolutely lovely. Absolutely lovely. Our Planet. When is it officially out? Do we know yet?
April the 5th, worldwide on Netflix.
Oh, lovely, lovely, lovely. I look forward to that then. Do we know how many episodes is this? Have we any ideas?
8 episodes.
Oh, right.
So make sure to head over to Netflix and watch this, because this looks good. This looks like thumbs up material.
It is a thumb up from me.
2 thumbs up lovely, for
lovely,
Our
jubbly.
Planet.
So what is our final trailer on this week's trailers on Papa Big's release?
We save the best till last.
Have we now?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, then tell me what it is.
Stranger Things 3.
Oh, series 3 of the 80s set sci-fi horror pop culture retro favourite. And it even starts up. It is probably the show that has the most amount of references to other pop culture and films and TV shows of that time that I've ever seen before. It starts off in the trailer with Dustin returning, and we see him on his own. And you've got an obvious nod to Close Encounters and the brilliant scene of the little boy who has all these toys come to life by the aliens. So it's obviously a nod to that. And then we have some lovely comedic bits, and we see all the other characters. There's Will and the other one and number 11.
Will and... Oh, we haven't watched his in ages. What's his name? Lucas.
Lucas, very good.
Mike.
And what's the girl called?
Max.
Mad Max, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, Mike, yes, and...
11.
And 11, yeah. There you go. So they're all back. And we also see Mum, Winona Ryder, and...
Hopper.
Hopper, David Harbour.
And the older... brother and the older sister.
That's right. Jonathan.
Yeah.
And
Nancy.
Nancy and there Steve as well. So
and
we get all the other characters back.
Billy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, 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 yep.
Yeah. Oh, we actually remember their names.
We did all right there.
Quite proud of ourselves.
We did all right there. And we've also got lots of, because we're now in the mid-80s, and we've got lots of, like, there's a Baywatch reference there with the red swimsuit. There is an E.T. reference with them putting up the stuff in the forest with a communications device. There is, that's kind of a Dirty Dancing reference right there, and a ghost reference. And there's also Ghostbusters in there as well, again. And it's obviously got, we've got a coming-in-age kind of thing going on as well, haven't we? As well as the shopping mall, which was featured in some of the trailers, teaser trailers, wasn't it?
Yep.
And quite surprisingly, because usually, as the old adage goes, it jumps the shark when we get to season three, or series three, as we English people like to call it. But this actually looks really good.
It does. It looks amazing.
It's got some great new scenes. It's got some great effects. It's got some, like I say, lots of pop culture nods, like as it does really, really well. But it's obviously come for a whole new theme. Although you're wondering where it's going. It looks kind of thrillery, doesn't it? And comedy as well. And then you get the spooky stuff right at the end of the trailer, with everybody
getting a massive big monster.
And that's how it finishes.
Looks like the Cronenbergs from Rick and Morty.
Oh, you know what the Cronenberg? David Cronenberg.
Yeah.
So, yes, quite excited for this, but it's not out until July, is it?
July the 4th.
Which happens to be some kind of holiday over there, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's the American Independence.
That's right. It's the time we gave them back a little bit of land that didn't belong to us or them in the first place. Anyway, won't go into there.
No,
so Stranger Things series 3.
Oh, it's very good. It's humorous.
Does.
It's got some good music.
If you like season 1 and season 2, then you're going to be, as the young people say, stoked for this one, because yeah, no, it's worse. It's,
young
it's
people
worse than...
from now, from the
80s. I don't know.
Or young people maybe from the 40s.
You're going to be hyped. You're going to be absolutely
buzzing,
up for it. And there you go. So we'll look forward to that. All four of us, I think. Mama Biggs, Daddy Biggs, Son 1 and Son 2. I think we'll all enjoy that together.
We're not going to say who's in it because I haven't got that up. But if Son 2 were only here, he knows everyone's real names.
He does know them all. Yeah. But he's not around today. He's out and about because it's a sunny day.
Maybe he'll be here next week.
Let's hope so. We have to get him in for the 100th show.
We need
which
to make
got.
That happen.
Well, that needs to be one of the things that will have to happen
I
in
said,
the 100th show.
We have to make it happen.
That's what he did. That was Make It Happen by the record company. Have we got time for this?
We do. We have time for film news.
Film news. Film news. Film news. Film news. Marvel, DC and Star Wars. Blade Runner, E.T. and Jaws. Jurassic Park with dinosaurs. My favorite film is Ghost, What's Yours? Star Trek, Air Bud, Avatar. Pixar films including Cars. Indie films from Zanzibar. Theme song's over, au revoir.
Yes, of course, film news, the part of the show where we look at five pieces of film news that have come out in the past 7 days, and we tell you whether we think they're good, bad,
somewhere
in the middle.
That's not right.
It kind of is.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's just some random stuff that we're just going to talk about.
Yeah.
And I'm quite excited, and probably along with a load of other 40-year-old men, are quite excited about Bill and Ted 3. Now, it was announced quite a while ago, about like 4 or 5 months ago, that they were going to try and get it off the ground, and then it kind of disappeared, and then it wasn't going to happen. And then because there was such a swell, a groundswell of fans, like I say, probably 40-something men, they're going, yes, you have to make the film, have to make the film. So they actually realised, actually, there must be an audience for it there. And they have officially said they are definitely making Ted and Bill number
Ted
3.
And Bill.
Yep. Bill and Ted number 3, which hopefully it will be brilliant, because obviously it brings back Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves as Bill and Ted. And let's just hope of all hopes, it's as funny as the first two, and it probably will be. And it's kind of probably about right as well, because the 80s vibe and retro vibe that is in a lot of films and TV shows at the moment, as we were saying about Stranger Things, well, why not? Because that's when the original ones were set. But goodness knows, we're a good 20, 35 years later, so goodness knows what the characters will be like. Anyway, what do you want to say about the next bit?
You've not even said the title of the film.
Bill and Ted Face the Music.
21st of August 2020.
Wow.
Second piece of film news is coming from Disney. Because...
it's now official, isn't it? It's official. They have taken over Fox. They have swallowed them up. like the great big corporate behemoth that they now are.
Yep.
I'm sure the Monopoly Commission in this country would have something to say about that, but that's not how America works. It's the biggest and the strongest prevail.
Yeah, they're the Walt Disney Company. What's the website?
Mm-hmm.
Is now filled with Fox things because they now own Shape of Water, that's on there.
Oh, yeah.
Fox News.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Avatar.
The Simpsons.
Donald Glover is there. And a monkey.
And some baseball people.
Yeah, because they own ABC Sports.
They own monkeys and baseball now.
I don't know.
Okay, so first and foremost, the interesting thing about them actually doing that is not only that they will be doing your, X-Men takeovers, and who knows, maybe in the future they might do a kind of reboot of that, but they're keeping, aren't they?
What do you mean?
What are they keeping in terms of like the Deadpool type stuff?
Oh yeah, they said that they'll continue making the Deadpool films, but not the X-Men ones.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But what they're not continuing to make and what they have closed officially is...
Fox 2000.
Which was what?
I think it was low-budget adult drama.
There you go. So that's the key thing. It was a completely different audience. So, yeah, it doesn't have the huge kind of audience figures that... Disney looks at with its stars and Marvel films.
Fault in Our Stars, that was very popular.
Yeah, Life of Pi, Diary of a Wimpy Kid. So they are audiences that are maybe a smaller amount, but they are. At least they're original, they're different, and there's a variety there, all kinds of different things. Anyway, they've gone bloody shut it, haven't they?
Yeah, it's a real shame.
Well,
they'll probably just chuck them all on their Disney Plus streaming service and ignore that they were ever...
Yeah, but they won't make any. Yeah, but they won't make any new ones under that. Yeah. So will they replace that
stuff.
Exactly? And that's what annoys me. It's not even low budget, is it? It's actually mid-budget sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, the market still needs that. Not everybody wants to see superheroes and space epics and cartoons all the time. We need other things as well. Thank you, Disney. We can't just eat the same food every day. We'd be bored with it, no matter how tasty and wonderful it is. So let's mix the diet up, please.
Disney Plus
Disney.
Is going to be so good now. Like,
why?
Netflix will be barren except for their originals, which, to be fair, for the most part, are pretty good.
No, it's kind of all over the place, really, isn't it?
Oh,
really?
They do
some
do their.
Some's great, like
they do
Stranger
their
things.
Kiddie stuff, like Disney Channel level stuff, like crap like that.
Right.
But every single Disney thing will no longer be on Netflix in about 6 months.
True. True.
Yeah, and Disney Plus is going to be so good. I hope it's not too expensive, because that's something I would invest in. Every single Disney film, every single Pixar film, every single Marvel, Star Wars film, plus the new originals, like The Mandalorian.
The new originals?
Yeah.
I was like, it just reminds me of Spinal Tap. We're the originals, so we call ourselves the originals, but there's already a band called that. So we called ourselves the New Originals.
Ah, okay. New original films and TV shows. And Simpsons.
Yeah.
And But they've said that they're not going to put anything like R-rated, 18, 15 rated on there. So...
Well, you mentioned this about Will Smith, didn't you? And obviously now he's tied in with Disney and Aladdin and everything like that. And he's kind of cleaned up his act and doesn't want to be associated with Suicide Squad and all these kind of things.
Just had an ad come up on Empire.com. More parents are now gluing pennies to the bottom of their children's shoes.
Why? Click on it. Tell me why that is.
I
want to know.
It's going
to
be a dodgy sign.
No, it's not.
Here we go.
There you go. Look. There's a picture
of
a baby in a baby grow that also... multiplies as a floor cleaner.
This is terrible.
He's a genius. Absolute genius. So...
What are these?
I don't know, but stop looking at them. Okay, all sorts of crazy stuff, which is not good for the radio. Anyway, give us my last bit of film news, please.
The final bit of film news Do we have time for this?
Just about. Quick.
James Gunn has been reinstated as the director of Guardians of the Galaxy 3, which is good, because they were going to use his script anyway after they fired him. So it was technically like he was working on the film without being paid, which is scummy. So I guess the whole he is a... the old tweets thing kind of blew over. Lots of people were mad about it in the first place.
All right, so in your opinion, you would say that it's back to normal now, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, jolly good.
He's the best. Not only did he do Guardians 1 and 2, he did all of their dialogue for Infinity War. So he understands these characters. He's kind of created them himself.
Yeah.
Because none of those characters are like that in the comics.
No.
Well, originally they are now, because they have to change it to be like the films.
Yeah.
But these are his characters, and he understands them better than anyone else could. So this is good. This is good for the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And this is good because this is probably going to be the last Guardians film with those.
The trilogy.
Yeah.
Because there's three of them. Because anyway, thank you very much.
They probably will keep doing Guardians films, but with a different team. So who would you like to see on that team?
I don't know, because I don't know who they are.
I would like to see,
Rocket,
personally,
Dinosaur.
Korg and Meek.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd like Taika Waititi to direct Guardians Volume
4. Oh, well, that'll be all right. Yeah, I'll be up for that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we've got time for. Sun 2, 1, oh, 1, 2, Sun 1, 2, 1, 2, 1,
Sun
2.
Wonton.
So say goodbye, please.
Goodbye. We'll
join us again on the Pampa Big Show every single day this week on earthsearchradio.co.uk.
Be here next week
for the 100th episode. We've got some special things lined up for you.
Very, very special.
You Bigses and Earthsearchers.
Yeah, very, very special.
And we're going to leave you with a little help from my friends by Joe Cocker.
See ya.
Bye.